Today's gospel is from the second chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, may you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up on them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we have a couple celebrations going on. Today is 9/11. We remember Patriots Day and the tragedy that happened 21 years ago. In fact, the cross that I wear today, I got at the 9/11 memorial. If you recall, when the towers fell, what was standing was two steel beams in the shape of a cross. And this cross is a reflection of that, as I think about that today and how that's changed our nation. I mean, just we went in Hawaii, we went to Pearl Harbor Memorial, and they still are not allowing anyone to carry a bag into the memorial. And I said, wow, how long has this been going on? Since 9/11. So these things are still carrying on as we see how our world has changed. You probably also sensed a theme going on in today's readings as we're celebrating grandparents today, and we're calling this Generation Sunday. And what I want us to do is to take a stock at where you are today, no matter what your age, to think about what is God wanting to do in my life today, and looking at yourself and saying, what is living faithfully, what does that look like for me right now, right here? And also looking behind you at those that are younger, those who maybe your grandkids or maybe your kids or even your great-grandkids or neighbors or cousins or, you know, nieces and nephews, and thinking about how can I be blessed to be a blessing for those that are coming behind me? And what can I give to those who are following me in this life? The future of the church is in the hands of older adults. I'm going to say that again. The future of the church is in the hands of older adults. In Richard Getzler's book, The Age of Opportunity, he gives four reasons why the future of the church is in the hands of older adults. He says, we often hear that young people are the future of the church. However, in reality, the future of the church is in the hands of older adults. Older adults play an increasingly vital role in the future of the church. He gives four reasons. First, older adults who represent a large proportion of church membership as a group give proportionally more financially to the church. They help pay the bills and provide for ministries. They give financially to children's and youth ministries, to scouting programs, to mission endeavors. And in many congregations, the older adults are the ones who are keeping the church doors open. He says, second, older adults provide leadership in the church. They are the leaders and teachers in the congregation, proclaiming and teaching the Christian faith. They are preaching the word of God, teaching the scriptures, telling the stories. They're demonstrating Christ's love as mentors, teachers, and leaders. They're teaching and learning from children and youth, and they're inspiring and being energized by young people. They're caring for the sick, frail, and needy, and they're making God real through the living faith as leaders and teachers. Third, older adults are present and active in the life of the church. They participate in adult Sunday school and Bible school. They come to classes, men's and women's fellowship, and study groups. They are present in worship and engage in spiritual growth opportunities. Older adults are often the first to sign up, the first to attend, the first to invite, the first to welcome, and the last to leave. And fourth, older adults are engaged in service. We certainly see that here at Shepherd of the Hills. They want to feel useful. They need to be needed. Older adults want to experience meaning and purpose in their lives, and they want to make a significant difference in the lives of others. Older adults have time, and they have practical knowledge gained from years of experience. Churches that invite, equip, and empower older adults for service are making a difference in the lives of older adults and in the communities they serve. I wanted to share that today because I think we've heard so many times, the future of the church is in young people. And it certainly is. If we don't have any other generations following us, we're not going to be around that much longer as this congregation. But we also are vitally important in reaching and ministering to those who are coming behind us. I call today the sermon, Making Age an Opportunity. And I think it means three things. First of all, everyone is getting older. Isn't that true? So it doesn't matter what age we are, we're all aging. And I've heard this said about as they get older, there's three stages of getting older. There's the go-go's, so those that are actively vital and can do almost everything they could do before they retired or any other time. And then there's the slow goes. I remember my parents entered that stage of life, and if one thing was on the calendar that day, that was what they would do. It wasn't doing three or four things, it was one thing. That's the slow goes. And then there's the no goes, when health fails and you're not able to leave your home or you have to go into assisted living or something like that. The people that are maybe watching us today online might be some of those folks. But those are kind of the stages of getting older. And the church is getting older. It's not just Shepherd of the Hills. It's every church in the country. And especially after 2020, that has been seen visibly in every congregation, that more and more of the people that came back to church after 2020 are older people, not the younger crowd. So that's the first thing. Everyone's getting older, and no one's getting younger. The second is that the scriptures that I chose today all illustrate that God works through older people. Did you recognize that Moses and Aaron, did you hear their age when they went to face Pharaoh? That was a big deal. They traveled a long ways down to Egypt, and then they had to confront Pharaoh, who was not going to let God's people go. It says Moses was 80 and Aaron was 83. So we're talking about older people that were used by God powerfully. Did you recognize the reading in Luke, how it was older people, Simeon? It doesn't give his age, but it says he would be promised to see the Savior before he died. So he's up there in age. And Anna, 84 years old, prayed daily in the temple to see the Savior. I was told recently, and I think this really makes a lot of sense, that Jerusalem at the time of Jesus was kind of like Sun City. Sun City, not Sin City. Got that right? Sun City, across the valley, where it's a retirement community, 55 and up. You see, younger people worked and lived outside of the city because they were farmers and laborers and they were shepherds and they worked somewhere else. And it was too expensive to live in the city for them. It's an agrarian economy and they were needed to work the fields. Housing, there were not many economic opportunities in Jerusalem unless you were a priest or a Levite. And population density was in many villages around Palestine, not in the cities. Housing was expensive. And according to one estimate, there are only 20,000 permanent residents in the city of Jerusalem. But it was a pilgrimage, a final destination for folks whose life work was done and wanted to spend their final days in God's presence. And that's what Luke is highlighting today. Even Jerusalem had the highest number of retirees in Israel. Isn't that interesting? That was a place for people to go at the last parts of their life. So the Bible illustrates that you're never too old, and God has something in store for each and every one of us all the way through. Jeremiah has said, I'm too young. And others have said, I'm too old. And God keeps saying, no, you're just right. God has something in store for all of us. So three things. Everyone's getting older. No one's getting younger. And the scripture illustrates that God works through the lives of older people. And then the third thing I want to share today is that you are just the right age. Aging is a spiritual journey as well as a physical journey. And right now, what does it mean to age faithfully? And I think these next points are important for anyone at any age, even the young people that are here today, to think about what is God doing here in my life? Well, to age faithfully is, first of all, to see and know that all of life at every age and stage is a gift from the loving Creator God. You heard in Isaiah 43 what was read when it says, listen, O you descendants of Jacob, the remnant of the people of Israel. You've upheld me since your birth, and I've carried you since you were born. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I've made you and I'll carry you. I'll sustain you and rescue you. So whatever your age, God is right there with you. He's working right in your midst, and it's a gift, life is. Every breath is a gift. That's why it's called the present, because we live in the presence with God. So secondly, to know that God's in all of life, but secondly, to trust his promises, to trust that he will never leave you or forsake you, that his promises that were true when you were younger carry through all the way until you're older. He is the one who is the healer, the comforter. He gives forgiveness. He gives eternal life. To trust his promises all the way to the end of your life. That's one of the most beautiful things I get to experience as a pastor, is being with people even to the very end of their life here on earth. And they're filled with faith because they've grown to trust and know that God has in store for them something so much better than they've ever experienced in this life. Trusting those promises and knowing that he's with you to the very end of your days is so important. To age faithfully is also to stand against the cultural prejudice about growing old. There is that out there, ageism, right? I think I heard Clint Eastwood was interviewed and they asked him, why are you still making movies? You're old. And he said, I'm making movies to not let the old man win. I think that's good. You know, anti-aging is a multi-billion dollar industry, trying to keep people young and doing all you can to stay and look young and beautiful. But it's okay to age. You know, God made us in that way. I was at the Verizon store recently, waiting to get my phone worked on, and an older couple walked in, and there's like a 19-year-old, guy that's helping work in the Verizon store. And they're like, we're having a trouble with our phone. It doesn't ring to the people, and we're missing calls, and we're not sure what to do. And I was just kind of watching this interaction going, okay, how's this going to turn out? And this young man, was so polite. He was so helpful. He said, I can help you with that. And he worked on their phones. He opened it up and said, oh, this setting is open where you're not receiving calls from people that are on your contact list. Oh, okay. And he fixed it and he helped them. They were appreciative. They were nice. And it was just what a beautiful interaction. I've also seen the opposite in restaurants or different places where older people are really kind of rude and really kind of abrupt. And just because you're older doesn't give you the license to be rude and demanding. And I think those kind of things, one interaction at a time, can change the perspective on older people. If we are gracious and loving and kind and appreciative, man, it makes a big difference on helping people understand people of different ages. Okay, finally, next one. Well, how can we age faithfully? Is to develop a new understanding of self-worth. You know, maybe you can't walk as far as you used to, or lift as much as you used to, or do as much as you used to, but that doesn't mean that we're not worth as much, because God says we are about our being, not our doing. And he has called you sons and daughters of God. And so we're human beings, not human doings, and to get an appreciation of that sense of worth. It's interesting, not so long ago, and it still is prevalent in many cultures, that to be older is to be honored. And when you take in those older generations and multi-generations live in the same home, and there's honor and appreciation for those who are our grandparents and those who have gone before us, it'd be great to recover more of that here in our culture. But to understand, you do have worth, no matter whatever your age. Another way to be faithful in whatever age you are is to be part of a congregation that knows that spiritual growth is possible and relevant for older adults. I remember my parents, my mom and dad, led a home Bible study. And they were probably in their late 50s when they started that home Bible study. They'd never done that before, but they took it on as a mission, and they led it for the next 15 years till they were in the mid 70s. And they would bring people together every week, and they had great Bible studies. And then there was a couple that my dad really looked up to because he was a woodworker. His name was Irv Ide. And my dad loved working with wood. And he had lost his dad pretty young. His dad was only 72 when he died. And so he would spend a lot of time with Irv, and almost like he was like a father to him. And he would go to Irv Ide every week after their Bible study and do another version of it just for Irv and his wife. My mom and dad would go out there and do that, because they wanted him to experience growth. And Irv said, you know, Jack, I've never even hardly understood the Bible or read it. And it's been so good that you've come here to read it with me and explain it to me. And that was very, very essential. We're going to be, so to be a part of something that is vital. And there's an acronym for Ministry to Seniors that includes these steps. And I think it'd be really great to put together a task force or a group that would like to really think about intentional ministry for older people in our congregation, for the go-go's, for the slow-go's, and the no-go's, so that we have something for everyone on spirituality, on enrichment, on nutrition, which actually something is happening this coming fall on that. There's going to be a group offered on nutrition, something that's intergenerational, working with the next generation, outreach, we have a lot of that going on, recreation, and service. So those are things that we could put into place to help our congregation be more and more vital and relevant and interesting for people of all ages. And finally, the way to continue to grow faithfully in whatever age you are is to practice some spiritual disciplines. That's worship. That's what you're doing right here. Prayer, reading scripture, receiving the sacraments, reading your Bible, practicing silence and generosity, journaling, actively listening to God. These things are what help us grow and continue to grow. In fact, that's kind of the emphasis of the next sermon series that's happening starting next week called Sticky Faith, which is how God forms in us a faith that lasts. I think so many things come to us and they kind of just bounce off. We were talking in an adult study this morning about how, you know, people don't really think they need to learn things because you can get all the information on the internet. So, you know, you don't need to learn your times tables because you got a calculator. You don't need to learn how to read cursive because you don't even use that anymore. You know, stuff like that. But I was thinking about how so many things that happen spiritually to us, we want to absorb. We want it to stick to us, not just bounce off. And so that's why we're going to spend several weeks thinking about what helps our faith stick to us. First, next week, we'll be on noticing, being aware of what's around us. There's a Sioux Indian saying that says, the longest journey you will make in your life is from your head to your heart. And I think that is what the next series is about, is taking what we may know in our heads and applying it into our lives so that it sticks. So that when there's a crisis, when there's a trial, when there's a challenge, we trust in God and we know that He is there for us. Friends, aging is a spiritual journey. With Christ, you're able to make age an opportunity, no matter what age you are. And for those who are considered seniors here, I want you to listen to the words of this rendition of Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, when my hair is white as snow. Though my sight is growing dim, still He bids me trust in Him. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. We should probably sing the chorus together. So I'll do that after the next verse. Though my steps are, oh, so slow, with my hand in His I'll go. On through life, let come what may, He'll be there to lead the way. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Though I am no longer young, I have much which He's begun. Let me serve Christ with a smile, go with others the extra mile. When the nights are long and dark, in my heart He puts a song, telling me in words so clear, have no fear, for I am near. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Two more verses. When my work on earth is done and life's victories have been won, He'll take me home above, and then I'll understand His love. He says, I love Jesus. Does He know? Have I ever told Him so? Jesus loves to hear me say that I love Him every day. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Let us pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank You that You make age an opportunity. No matter what age we are, Lord, You are still working vitally in our lives. We thank You for the young people in our lives. We thank You that we're going to pray for them and remember them in just a few minutes. To know that we do and can and will have an opportunity to witness, to pray for, to encourage, to share the hope that's within us with them. Lord, continue to work powerfully in each and every one of our lives to be faithful to You. And Lord, when we face hard times, things that seem so overwhelming for us, Lord, remind us that you are always with us. Remind us that we are worth something, that we can trust your promises, and Lord, that we can be a witness to this world, that no matter what our age, Lord, we are yours. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.